This is Narelle Graham.
On air, online and via the ABC Listen app.
Narelle Graham on ABC Radio South Australia and Broken Hill.
It is 5 minutes past five on a Thursday afternoon, and you can get in touch with your ABC via the phone line 1300 160 222 or via the text line 0467 922 783. Coming up for you, the economic sector that is paying well above the average salary in South Australia and how it is boosting our economy throughout the state of SA. First this hour, I've got some good news for you about a man, a South Australian man, who was trapped in the Simpson Desert in Queensland, and also what you need to know about the impact the rain is having in those remote parts of South Australia and far west New South Wales, because some national parks are closed. Not all South Australian outback road signs also are updating, and inland rivers are in flood currently. So there's plenty to talk about. Steve Johnston OAM is the administration manager of VKS 737 Radio, who kept in contact with the man who was stuck in the Simpson Desert. Steve Johnston, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Noel.
How did they get him out, Steve?
Well, eventually they got a helicopter from Boulia, flew down to where he was stranded, and from there they flew him to Birdsville.
And when was that?
That was yesterday afternoon. He actually got to Birdsville around about dinner time last night.
Okay, so and where is he now? Is he still in Birdsville?
He's still in Birdsville. He got accommodation in Birdsville, and he's now working out his next strategy, whether to stay in Birdsville until the track's dry so he can go back and get his vehicle, or come back to Adelaide and then go back up later and pick up his vehicle.
And where was he?
He was on the Madigan Line. And the Madigan Line starts at Birdsville and heads in the general direction of Alice Springs. It was a road that was surveyed, well, never a road, but it was a survey that was done around about 1939, when they were trying to put a road between Alice Springs and Birdsville, but they decided it was an impact across the sand dunes and mud and everything else. But nowadays it's just an abandoned track, and four-wheel drivers go up it occasionally just to go and see the scenery and in areas you can't get with a normal vehicle, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's a good tourist drive, and people do it just for that reason.
Steve Johnston is the administration manager of VKS 737 Radio. So he was in contact with this man who was stuck in this very remote part of Australia for several days, a South Australian man. So how long had he been out there?
He first got stranded on the weekend, so he'd been up there for about a week. His initial plan, he drove from Adelaide, went to Birdsville. From there, he was going to backtrack on, it's a track called the QIA line, and from there he was going to head up the Madigan line in the general direction of Alice Springs. Unfortunately, by that stage, the weather started to change, and he got to the point he knew he couldn't go further forward, so he made the decision to stop, turn around, start to come back to Birdsville. But he found very quickly that wasn't going to be practical, because the roads were going to be just washed away. So he found a high piece of land, which is a safe thing to do, and put the vehicle up on top of this high ground, and then waited there. In the meantime, of course, he was keeping in regular contact with our network, so we knew where he was. And once we knew he was stranded, then we got the ball rolling to try and organise to get him rescued from that location.
So it was you guys, it was VKS 737 Radio that raised the alarm that this man was stuck.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Once he called into one of our bases, the network itself, we run a high-frequency radio network. It covers the whole of Australia, all of the outback, and we have regular daily schedules where people can log in, do safety login, and if we have an emergency, we can handle that. If it's medical, we transfer to the RFDS and so on. In the case of this emergency, calls were put through to the police, and the emergency from that point on was handled by the search and rescue team out of Mount Isa.
How did they find him, Steve?
Well, we knew exactly where he was.
Because
he had a GPS location, he gave us the GPS. So we can see exactly on the map, we could pinpoint him within a few metres where he was.
Yeah. So he was well prepared in case anything went wrong, and thankfully, of course, so they had to get him out. They had to airlift him out of where he is. So the car's still there.
That's right. The car's still there, sitting on top of a fairly high bit of ground. And until the road's dry, which could take 2-3 weeks or more, what the police are saying, the vehicle will be there until you can get back and then drive it back down to Birdsville, then from Birdsville back down to Adelaide.
And what did he have with him? Did it become quite urgent to be able to get him out, Steve?
The urgency wasn't what he had. He had at least 2 more weeks of food. He had enough medication with him. He was worried a bit about his water supply, but then a comment was made to him, well, if all the rain, put some buckets out, which he did.
Yep.
So he was filling his water tanks up with that. And so really there was no urgency from that point of view, but the main worry was the fact he would be stuck there for a fairly long time.
Mm.
The weather was starting to degrade quite a bit more.
So you wait for the window and get them out when it's, you know, when it's good to do so, when the weather and everything else is favourable. Steve Johnston, well done on your part in this rescue. I suppose that's what you're there for, but really nice to be able to report that he did get out okay.
He got out okay. That's the important thing.
Yep.
As I say, they got a helicopter eventually. They were supposed to do it yesterday morning, but the weather stopped the helicopter taking off.
Yeah.
But eventually in the afternoon they got it out and flew him down to Birdsville.
Good-o. Well, thank you, Steve. Good to talk with you. Steve Johnston, OAM, who is the administration manager of that Outback radio service. So VKS 737 radio, some of you may even be familiar with it. And earlier this week, while we're talking about the rain in the Outback and what's happened with it, a family of four was rescued from a remote stretch of Mount Dare Road, just south of the Northern Territory border. So within South Australia, but very close to that border. The family had left Oodnadatta on Friday. They were bound for Fink, where they live, and they spent 3 nights stranded in the outback. One of the travellers, Bridget Doolan, spoke to Nine News.
2 nights we camped in the car. On the 3rd day, we started walking until we seen that rescue plane dropping off more water. Yes, it was scary, but we was keep praying, knowing that God will answer our prayer, which he did, and send out help.
And here is Police Commissioner Grant Stevens.
It's a good outcome. They had vehicle troubles and decided to walk from the vehicle, something that we don't encourage people to do. It makes it much more difficult for searchers to find people if they are in this sort of situation.
So it's wet out there. 18 South Australian outback roads are closed at the moment, and 4 desert parks have been closed because of the heavy rain. So Travis Gotch is District Ranger with National Parks and Wildlife Service. Travis, hello.
G'day, how are you, Nora?
Yeah, not too bad. What's it like over your way, Travis, after all that rain?
Well, they've had a lot of rain up there, yeah. Yeah, so my crew up at Innamincka are still dealing with it, and the rest of my guys are out at the moment because there's just nothing there to be. There's not a lot they can do, and they'd just be stuck for weeks if they stay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How much rain have you had in areas of remote South Australia?
Well, it varies. You know, we'd had 65 mil at Mount Dare over the weekend, and that's what got Bridget Doolan and her family stuck. We had Queensland National Parks have a automated rain gauge just north of Papal's Corner, south of where the other gentleman was stuck. They had just under 350 mil of rain. Had more there since. around that time. Innaminka was up around 37 mil, but just upstream up the Cooper Creek, there's been spots there that have had nearly 500 mil of rain. So it's big downpours in certain areas and steady, solid rain everywhere else up that far north.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's quite unusual for this time of year compared to other years, is it?
Nah, look, it's monsoonal. It's Central Australia climate. It's not a Southern Australian climate. So, you know, you do get, if you are going to get big rains, they usually occur in summer. Yeah. And so, yeah, it can happen. It's not all the time. But when you do get the big rains, it typically is this time of year.
What are the names of the parks that have been closed because of the wet and the inaccessibility of the roads?
Yeah, so Witchera National Park, Mungatheri Simpson Desert National Park, Innaminka Regional Reserve and Malcumba Coogee Lakes National Park.
And have National Parks and Wildlife Service been around the parks? Like, do you have to check for people who might be stuck in them before you close them?
If we've got people around, we will. But sometimes we can't, obviously. I mean, these parks are massive. So the national parks just within the Outback District represent about 1% of the landmass of Australia, to give you an idea of the area. Checking them is difficult. That's why we strongly urge people to make sure they tell somebody who cares for them where they're going and when they're travelling, when they expect to be back, to make sure that they're prepared with communications, be it satellite phone, EPIRB, PLBs or VKS 737, which is a wonderful service, been around for a long time. All of those things, all that communications is critical. And again, check weather. Because we physically lack the resources to be able to check the couple of thousand kilometres of tracks in those parks.
Totally, yeah. And like you say, that's what happened to the Doolans, wasn't it? Bridget Doolan and her family. That they had somebody raise the alarm because they didn't arrive where they were supposed to arrive at the time that they did. So that's right. How they were able to be rescued. Travis Gotch is a district ranger, National Parks and Wildlife Service. I know I'm asking you to gaze into some sort of crystal ball. How long do you think the parks will be closed?
It'll vary from site to site. So, for somewhere like Witchera, it might be a couple of weeks before we can get that reopened. Again, it comes down to the amount of damage, mainly on the DIT roads. The Mount Dare to Hamilton Road would be the main driver there. Somewhere like the Simpson Desert might be a few more weeks than that. I mean, 350 millimetres of rain in around Popel's Corner. There's a lot of lakes there between the dunes. They'll be full of water and full of treacherous mud. And again, people drive, if they go early, they're going to get stuck and end up requiring rescues. Innaminka is going to be an interesting one because while we haven't had lots of rain there, we have got a lot of water coming down the Cooper Creek system. Our flood, the Department for Environment Water Flood Management team are starting to model what they think might be the impacts there. It's still very early days. We're trying to get data, but there's a lot of water moving down from around Windura to south, and then but on top of that there's actually water in front of it, so that's normal wetting.
Where can people get updates, Travis?
Oh look, absolutely. Outback Roads, Desert Parks Bulletin, National Parks websites, all of those have information, and locals. Ask, they know what's going on too.
Ask the locals. That's really good advice. Travis Gotch, thank you. District Ranger there with National Parks and Wildlife Services. Unfortunately, not all of the automated road condition signs are working in Outback South Australia. Mark Elms is from Department of Infrastructure and Transport's Road Maintenance Team. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Narelle. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. It has been a very long time that the satellites that look after these road signs have been out. Why so long?
It's mainly come down to being so long in relation to a satellite software update that didn't work through. We worked with the contractor around how that service could be provided. We actually worked with other contractors. It came to a point when reconnection to these satellite services was not possible. So we started to explore other mobile, other network connectivities, which we're looking to trial in Yunta, which we've done, and we're looking to push these other new connectivities out into Cooper PD in the next couple of weeks.
Has it been about a year? It feels like it's been a year.
It has been, yeah, that's about right. We spent a lot of time working with the current service or the old service provider and then looking at new service providers until it became apparent that we just could not reconnect the signs to the satellite.
What information is showing on those Outback signs currently?
It varies depending on what the condition of what it was sat on before. So our key message when we go to the DRT Outback Roads website is this is our key area. That's where you need to go. There's also the QR codes based around the signs and also in local businesses that you can look at and we can find your road conditions. And you've also got Traffic SA that provides updates on the road information.
I would have thought that incorrect information is more dangerous than no information. Is there a way to turn the signs off so that then at least people know, oh, well, I've got to ask somebody else rather than looking at that sign and thinking, oh, yeah, the road's open and it's not?
Open. Yeah. Yeah. In short, yes, there is. There's, they work on a tumbler, so we can just remove the tumbler.
And is that what's happened?
I'm not aware if that has happened or not, but I will be able to find out.
Okay, so at the moment, is it possible that people are getting wrong information out there from those road signs?
It is possible, but I believe wherever you are in the regional areas, everyone has been directed to the QR codes and the website in relation to that, and the communications have gone out that the DIT website is the main point of call for this information.
Okay. Do the internet access is the other issue, isn't it? Do QR codes work on your mobile phone if you're in the outback?
Yes, they do. But it does depend on providers as well. That plays a part in it. What we found over the past couple of months when researching alternate communication methods, a number of our signs now sit within mobile telephone connectivity, which wasn't there 20 years ago when they went in.
And is... Sorry, other than the website, is there something when, if I was out in the outback now, and I haven't been for a long time, if I was driving along and I came to one of these signs, is there something to tell me, don't believe the sign, check the QR code when I'm out there?
Not in those particular words, but there's the QR code sign that's there. So this is where you'll get your most up-to-date information attached to the base of the sign.
Okay. All right. But the signs may be on and showing the wrong information.
Yeah.
Mark Elms, it's not an ideal situation, is it?
It's not, and that's why we've been really successful with the Yunta trial and all the other signs in the next, I want to say all of them, a large proportion of the signs will be updated by the end of June to update into the new mobile phone connectivity because a lot of those signs now can connect through to mobile phones. So within the next few months, all those signs will come back online with new connectivity.
How many signs?
We've got 26 signs on the network, and there's approximately 6 that are still in the remotest areas, but probably around about the 20 we'll be able to get back online, hopefully by the end of June.
And at the moment, there's just one of them that's back on, that's online.
Yes, that's correct.
Mark Elms, thank you. He is from the Department of Infrastructure and Transport's Road Maintenance Team. Listening to that is Ben Hood, the Opposition Transport Spokesperson. Ben Hood, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Rowan. Good afternoon to all your listeners.
Were you aware that the Outback Road signs have been out for a year?
No, Norrell, I wasn't aware of that, and a little bit concerning just listening to your chat just then that it has taken a year and that we are in a situation in which people could be getting the wrong information from these signs as well. When I sort of heard about this sort of today, I thought I'd just pull up the Telstra 4G map and overlay it with the DIT map for where our outback roads are, and there are still pretty large swathes of South Australia where you're not getting 4G connection. And when you do scan a QR code, obviously it takes you to a website. That's a fair bit of packet data that's being sent over the network. It's not the same as just sending text, as I imagine that's going to these automated road condition signs. So I'm also not exactly sure how good QR codes are actually going to be when you're out and about coming across some of these signs. Of course, we know that weather is pretty unpredictable. It can come in at any old time. And if you're expected to have to check a website or try and find a service for a QR code or have to pop into a business prior to heading out, with the weather conditions changing constantly, you may get caught out in a pretty bad spot. So I am a bit disappointed to hear that the department can't sort of guarantee that the information that's going on these signs is correct. I'm also a little bit disappointed that there wasn't a redundancy in place to say, well, if the satellites do fail, and obviously they do fail at times, we do have a bit of a stuff up with the software package, as was explained, that we didn't have a redundancy going into there. So I think probably more questions than answers have sort of popped up with this at this point. But I'm certainly glad to hear that Mr. Wolford and the other people that were stranded were being able to be rescued and get back to safety.
Yeah, it is. We don't know if that was had anything to do with the Outback Road signs and the difficulties with them. But we do want to highlight for people that you need to go the extra mile, no pun intended, if you are driving the Outback, because those road signs have got that problem with connection to the satellite currently. Where to from here, do you think, Ben Hood?
Well, look, I think there's probably some questions to the department, and we want to get an understanding of what kind of redundancies will be put in place into the future. How can we guarantee that these automated road signs will be kept up to date and will be able to display the information that is required? What kind of policies did DIT currently have around that, and what are they going to be doing into the future? Obviously, we've got Starlink now, and we can get really good connectivity all around the Outback. So maybe I certainly hope that they're investigating that. And again, same as what Travis just said on your program there, Narelle, make sure you're prepared, make sure you've got your EPIRB and you've got other ways of communication. So when you are out enjoying our amazing Outback, that you are prepared and you're not relying on what obviously has been a bit of a letdown.
Ben Hood, thank you. Liberal Party MLC and Opposition Transport Spokesperson. The Department of Infrastructure and Transport were a part of that interview. We did ask for the Minister, Tom Coutts, and Tonis referred us to the department, but also had some other commitments this afternoon. But we'll keep following that up on ABC Radio. Up next, how much is mining boosting the South Australian economy?